freedom, who has a right shoulder problem. Seriously, right? Seriously. A couple of you? Stand up. Oh. Can we gather on these people? I really feel right shoulder and maybe just stuff on the right side. Right side. Oh, Jesus, wow. Yeah, Father, we thank you so much. God, who still heals. God, who never stopped healing. We ask you touch the right side of bodies. Specifically asking for you to heal shoulders that are in pain. Muscles and bones, I feel like there's things that are calcified that you want to break free. That you just want to give more freedom in how these folks can use their arms and their shoulders and their right sides. We just pray, Father God, for more of that. We just ask you to touch these, at least these two others who might be have issues on the right side. Father, release your power, release breakthrough, release healing. And we believe in your ability to heal. We believe in you. You're the great God of the universe. Heal in your name, we pray. Amen. Amen. I know it's Pastor Appreciation Sunday, and I do appreciate Jeff, but I'm not gonna really appreciate him today. He is one of my closest friends in the city. Really, no, I take that back. He's one of my closest friends in the world. He and I have gone through a lot of life together, and he's the guy of really very few I can count on to have my back all the time. So I'm honored to be able to come here and share my heart. It's been about 2 months. Was it June that you went? It's been a while, but I really started to dial down in on what the Lord wanted to say to Evangel a couple months ago, and I've been really pressing in on the Lord to give me some just His heart for Evangel. So if you don't know me, I pastor another church in town. It's a Nazarene church in Kelso. But really, I say this all the time. I want you to understand how precious Evangel is to me. If we weren't going, if we weren't like employed, we're called to Abundant Life, but this is a second home to me. And a lot of significant moments spiritually have happened to me in this room related to Evangel and related to how what you're doing here is creating something bigger than yourselves. So I was thinking through, I was rehearsing your history, and I just want to remind you that since 1991, Evangel has been a gift to the city. I grabbed some pictures online. You need to do a better job of getting some stuff on Facebook, but I know there are better pictures than that, but I just want to remind you kind of a little bit of your history, meeting in different churches and venues. I know it wasn't just churches throughout the city. That was part of your early history. And you got this building, I don't know the year, but you see the large group of people who were illegally up on the roof. I don't know who, that would never happen at Abundant Life. That only happened at Evangel. Ladders. Yeah, illegal for sure. Liability issues all over the place, but it's all right. Yeah. So, you told me I could say what I needed to say. So, so you started to meet Sunday evenings, which allowed you to really tap into your mission, which is tearing down walls, building up people. And I know in the history of Evangel, part of the reason you did Sunday nights is so that you can be in other places. And I think really the first, how long have you been in the mornings? 5 years? 4 years? The first however many, 20 plus years, was really significant. You were building deposits in other churches and creating an avenue for things like the cold weather shelter and the family promise. I know that you didn't do those things, but you created an avenue. You built relationships, even if it was just Jeff on a Sunday. But I know others were in other places. So I think that's part of your history, part of your destiny. I think that's why the Lord created Evangel. I believe the Lord created Evangel. You were promoting. You were doing events like Week of Worship, throughout the years so that walls would be torn down, so people would gather here. You opened up your building in 2007 to tryout. I was part of that crazy venture. You changed your building. Do you guys remember? Some of you don't remember. It's a different color, right? And there's no windows, and the sound booth is here, and a ton of stuff. All you being a gift to the city, the Lord using you to really build up the region, build up the environment, build up the atmosphere of what the body of Christ is really supposed to be like. For a long time, just my upbringing, we didn't hang out with other people. We stuck with our own tribe. It was just kind of the pattern I was given. I've told this story a number of times. I like to tell it, but when the pastors were meeting on Thursdays when I first got here, I didn't go because you guys are weird. Other pastors might say something, I didn't like, or I wouldn't know how to handle, or talk funny, and all that's true. But so I had an associate. I have an associate, Daryl Brown, who kept bugging me, and he was just irritating me. And I simply went to pastor's prayer to get him off my back. I did not want him to say anymore, you need to go to this. I could go to him and say, look, I went, I tried it, wasn't for me. But I went and I tried it, and it was for me. And I've been invested in it ever since. I think Jeff was wearing bright green Oregon Duck shoes. Or they were bright red, one of the two. They were bright. And, Jeff and his shoes, that hooked me right away because, how can you not? So I'm appreciating you. So even last month, I met with a number of you. I think I was the only non-official evangelite there at the Hearth, and we talked about the School of Encouragement. Again, doing something for the city to do this, tearing down walls, building up people. Here's what it says on the website. I know it's part of your DNA. This is why you exist. To break down dividing walls and restore relationships between people groups while investing heavily in the next generation of believers. So today, instead of Pastor Appreciation Sunday, it's Evangel Appreciation Sunday. I just really want you to know that you're appreciated. I want you to know from my own heart that I love you, that I feel the love. I was joking about that, but I really feel it. I felt it earlier. So the number of you praying for me, the number of hugs I got, because this, for many years, was really a second home for me. And so you are appreciated. You are valued. You are necessary. This city needs you to be you. But as I was praying, so there's a but there, because as I was praying and really feeling, so a number of different times the Lord downloaded phrases and ideas in dreams, like really for the last 2 months, I've been really wanting to hear the Lord for you, and I feel strongly I have a word for you of encouragement. But really, that's what the Lord said. So I'm praying for you. I'm recognizing that you're getting ready for a season of fruitfulness, a season of harvest, a season of increased service, increased ministry, increased outreach, increased mission. I'm not quite sure how that's going to work out. I feel like there's more coming. But for now, now you're to be in a season of hiddenness. So I feel like the Lord is hiding you away. I don't know for how long, but I know for a few months. And I don't know what that means. You can take all of this and do with it whatever you want, even though it's from the Lord. Remember, you told me to have fun. But I felt this strongly. So I felt one morning when I woke up, or early morning in prayer, I was sleeping, really. But there were seasons where I would just engage in prayer whenever I was awake in bed, and whenever, get up to let the dog out or get up to go to the bathroom. And before I went back in, I'd be praying for what the Lord wanted to say to Evangel. And I heard this phrase, Evangel needs encouragement. And so I was working on that and thinking about that, and that, and I've been in the midst of the School of Encouragement idea, which I believe is prophetically part of the destiny of Evangel. I think I said that a year ago when I was here during my sabbatical. I felt like the Lord said that. But Evangel needs encouragement. And then I was thinking through that, and I was thinking, what does that mean, Lord? What do you mean? And how does that work out? And kind of in my spirit, I felt like we, and now I'm including myself in this because I think it's part of my call as well, that we need to go to the School of Encouragement before we do the School of Encouragement. And so I was processing that. So we need to go to the School of Encouragement. I don't know if you know about that. We don't even really have an idea of what it should be, except a year ago or so, a while ago, even longer than that, Jeff kind of declared that in a service one morning. And it's landed in a couple of our hearts, and I think it's a thing that we're supposed to do. We just don't know any clues about what it's supposed to look like. Any idea really of how the boundaries or the guidelines are, but I feel strongly that we're to do it, but before we do it, we have to be a part of it. We have to go there first ourselves. Can't do something unless you've experienced it first. And so I was processing that and wondering, and I really have a strong sense of what I think that should look like, but more for ourselves. And so let me walk you through that a little bit, and then I'll share the word I have for you. So I feel like the School of Encouragement for us, so we're to be a part of this. So I don't know how that looks for you. And I think for me, at Abundant Life, we're going to go at preaching differently. We might do some teaching differently. We're going to go at some of this at a different level. And I may never say the School of Encouragement language to my body because they don't know anything about it right now. But So this passion of mine for the church, the church is my mission field primarily. The Lord's beginning to expand that out to the rest of the world. But for the longest time, the church was in my mission field. I don't know if you know this, but every week, 100 to 200 churches close their doors. 5,000 to 6,000 churches a year are shut down. You've heard the statistics about young adults. Post-high school, 50% or more of young adults, now the number is, I think, up to 69%, leave the church. They don't leave faith necessarily, but they leave the church. Now, there is a large portion that come back post-marriage, and especially when they start having kids, they begin to realize, oh, wait, that was important. But some never do. And so I'm committed to this idea that we have to be different, that we can't continue to operate as we used to operate. I know from in my own context, we operate a lot differently than Evangel does. But I would still say Evangel needs to operate differently. I'm not quite sure that is, but so the passion of my heart is that we become a people who learn who Jesus is first and foremost. That what's happening, at least in the Western church, is that we've begun to be really good at promoting things you ought to do. We're really good at telling you how to behave. I'm generalizing, obviously. I don't know if Jeff does that. Does he tell you how to act? But there's some of that that's necessary. I'm not saying that we totally abandon that, but the message of the church for a long time has been about behavior modification. And that just doesn't resonate with anyone. It's not life-giving. The passion of my heart is to get people to understand that the first and foremost thing of our lives is to learn from Jesus, to be around Jesus, to love him, and to follow him at an intimate level, to be in relationship with him, which is totally scary for a lot of people. They don't know how to relate to one another, let alone a God they can't see, and yet we're called to. And I'm compelled by this message from Matthew 7. It's not on the screen, guys, so just let me read it. Not everyone who says to me, this is Jesus speaking, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Apart from me, you evildoers. See, I think what's happened in the Western church is we become focused on the church itself and not on Jesus. The church is important. We ought to be fighting for it. We ought to be gathering. If Jeff doesn't tell you this, you need to be every week, even though I know the stats say that you're not. I was just looking at them this morning. In 2010, the average person attended church 2 to 3 times a week. 2018, it's 5 to 6 times a month. I'm sorry, 2 to 3 times a month, 5 to 6 times a month. So that means that for the average person who says they go to church, you get to encounter them 10 or 12 times a year. That's not what Jesus was talking about. He needed us to be together. He didn't die so that every once in a while, when it's convenient for us, we'd gather together with the rest of the people we call the body of Christ and hang out and sing some songs and give our money and go on. That, if you want to do that, join a country club. Which, for many people, this has become their substitute for that. But Jesus said in Matthew 11, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And pay attention to this. Take my yoke upon me, you, and learn from me. He wants us to learn from him. So maybe in this season, maybe this is how we rephrase it. Instead of going to the school of encouragement, we're going to go to the school of Jesus. And in that, be encouraged. That's what happens every time we're in the presence of Jesus. We're encouraged. Every time we're encountering, every time we hear his voice, we're encouraged. We're different. Everything about Jesus determines our purpose and our function, our mission. He's the model. He existed. He lived not just to go to the cross for us, but to show us how to live. He modeled for us a lifestyle that's possible for every one of us. We tend to sell ourselves short and think that what Jesus says is not doable for us, but he said, I have to go away, but it's better that I go away. And then he said, you can do greater things than I do. So if that's the case, he walked on water, he calmed storms, he healed blind people, he did all sorts of crazy things. He also suffered and died, which is also our call. And we ought to join in with him. We ought to be looking like him. We ought to be reflecting him. We ought to be a missional like he was. He's a sending God. God goes, he sent Jesus. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit sent us. That's the way it works. We go out into the world. Now we come here, and then we go out. So there's this idea about following his way and being missional. Who Jesus is determines how we function with one another. Forgive, 70 times 7. When you get offended, how many of you know you are offended regularly, right? I know we always say don't get offended. You are offended. That just happens. Just stop saying that and say when you get offended, you're going to let go of the offense, forgive the other person, and move on. That's what Jesus had 10 million other reasons than we have, better reasons than we did, to be mad. What's he doing on the cross? Forgive them, Father, they don't know what they do. When's the last time you said that to someone who hurt you? So again, he's the model for us. He's the point person for us. So I think this is a season of learning Jesus. I think this is a season of knowing Jesus. And I think the two are different. So we can learn about him, and we should. We can follow him. But there's something about knowledge. There's something about intimacy. There's something about relationship. How many of you have been married for like over 20 years? Do you do things in your marriage that your wife or spouse does that you never thought you would do? Right? Do you sound like them? If you don't think you do, you're probably not. You've been so in the environment that you don't realize that Jeff does sound like Jody. That the things that he's saying up here, he's heard at home. You know, if you don't think that's true, you don't know them at all. What I'm pointing out is that relationships carry over. That intimacy transforms us. That when we're hanging out with someone, we become like them. You adopt. How many of you say groovy? Right? Right, because Jeff says it, right? I texted Miranda groovy yesterday. That's not my word. I picked it up 15 years ago when I hang out with Groovy Guy here. And there's beauty in that. There's glory in that. There's joy in that. And we ought to embrace that. And so, and I think sometimes we forget that our entire salvation, our entire history as followers of Jesus, our entire eternity is based around knowing Jesus. Like, don't be the people that Jesus says, get away from me. I did not know you. It's not that he didn't know who they were. It's not that. It's that they weren't in communion. They weren't conversing. You didn't let me in. No, you know the Greek, when you take the root of that word knowledge, you know what we got all adults, right? That's sex. That's intimacy. All right, don't get freaked out by that. That's the level of intimacy that Jesus wants with us. So knowing him, John 17, Honor of Larry Russell. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Eternal life is knowing God, knowing Jesus. It is not coming to an altar and saying some words and moving on, thinking everything's good. That's no longer an option. I don't think that's an option here anyway, but I know a lot of the Western Church is about getting people saved. And I hope you understand what I'm saying by that. We ought to be evangelistic. We ought to be missional. We ought to be about outreach. We ought to introduce people all the time to the kingdom. But if all we're doing is getting them to recite a phrase and make a I believe in Jesus statement, and that's all, that is not good enough. That's not enough. If that's all you've done, I know thousands of people. I've been around the church a lot of years, and I know a lot of people who know everything about church and nothing about Jesus. So I don't want us to be those people. I want us to lead the way. And I think evangelism is supposed to lead the way in learning Jesus. I think we're supposed to lead the way. I don't know quite how, because I think Abundant Life is part of that too. Knowing Jesus comes before anything else. All our service, our ministry, our work, or worship flows out of intimacy and knowledge of Jesus. Again, John 17, righteous Father, though the world does not know me, you, I know you, and they know that you've sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. So when they've done the research, so you're getting a ton of research because I'm in the middle of a master's, and all I've done for the last year, really it feels like all I've done is learn about all the things that we're not doing very well, which is necessary so that we can know how to go forward and be different. But in the research for how to grab on to young adults, especially in teenagers, behavior management won't work, but every time you tell them about Jesus, there's something compelling about him. There's something fascinating about him. He says that he'll draw all people to him. So we begin to tell the story of Jesus. We begin to make him the main message. You know what the main message of the end times is? Jesus is coming back, and you ought to be able to recognize him, right? Because in the end, there are people who follow another Jesus, multiple antichrists, who looks like him. So how do we know the difference? We're hanging out with him. Well, wait, he doesn't smell like Jesus. Jesus has a smell, right? We're to be the aroma of him. So the aroma is catchy. I heard someone talk about this way. How many of you love lobster? How many of you like steak? I'll go at that. All right. How many of you hate steak? All right. So that's Jody. It's okay. I claim it. So imagine if all they had in heaven was steak. Jesus would give her lobster. Well, let's just pretend that he didn't have any. And Jody never developed a taste for steak. And she gets to heaven, and every meal, it's steak. That's going to be miserable for her, right? And probably she's not, if that's her idea of heaven, if that's what we're selling her, and we're not allowing her to have lobster or whatever else, then she may not want to go. If we don't have a taste for Jesus now, what makes us think that when we get, when things really come crunch time, or when you die, if you don't have a taste for him, if you don't know who he is, if you're not walking with him, if you don't know what he smells like, if you don't know what he acts like, if you don't know what he said or what he looks like, maybe you're part of that group in Matthew 7 that Jesus said, you know what? You never hung out with me. You didn't develop a taste for me, a love for me, a hunger for me, a desire for me. Why do you want to be in here now? Because now is all about me. Now is all about knowing me. I want to show you who I am. How long is that going to take, Jesus? Forever. Do you think that in eternity we ever get to the end of knowing who God is? Do you think that somehow that's the arrival point? That's not the arrival point. That's the beginning point. And it starts here, knowing Jesus, understanding who he is. And so part of the call for evangel, part of the call for us, part of what I'm feeling from the Lord is that we need to learn Jesus. We need to be aware of him. We need to be intimate with him so that other people know him. So we smell like him. So we look like him. Part of the way that evangel will do that, part of the way they're already doing that is prophecy. Revelation 19:10, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What's the spirit of prophecy? It's telling other people how God feels about them, who Jesus is. It's communicating his love. It's communicating his heart. And it feels strongly. Evangel's already operating in it. I watched it a little bit this morning. How many of you had a prophetic word spoken over you this morning? Like a half a dozen of you, right? I saw. How many of you had a prophetic word that you didn't give out yet? Anyone? Okay, good. That's good. I really feel strongly like evangel is supposed to start increasing that. And again, do this what you want, but I think you want to do this because it's who you are. I think evangel is a source of prophetic encouragement for the city. And I think in some way it's been shut down a little bit. I know in some way it has. There's some avenues in the city that you've been shut out from. And I don't know how to address that, how to go at that, but I think that the Lord is asking you to reengage. I don't know how that looks, so if you want to talk about that, we can talk about that later. That's real cryptic, I'm sorry. Here's what it says, 1 Corinthians 14:3. Those who prophesy speak to people, building them up and giving them encouragement and comfort. So I'm feeling really strongly, and let me kind of rephrase what I'm feeling. Like we need to go back to or go to the school of encouragement first, which the school of encouragement is all about learning Jesus. I would also say in terms of action, in terms of ministry, it's beginning to learn to prophesy. If you think you're not prophetic, you've not read the Bible, because Paul said eagerly desire the greater gifts. One of those gifts was his prophecy. So you're called to prophesy. You have the word of the Lord for other people. The word of the Lord needs to go to other people. I'm tired, really tired of people not hearing the Lord. I'm tired of people not having ever experienced the presence of God. Right? Aren't you? Like, do you know those people? And man, they're great. They're operating on and a level of faith that I don't have, because their experience of God is all mental. I believe in God. Yeah, I believe in him. But I've experienced his presence in a profound way that changed my heart. I can point to moments. I can't imagine if I did. I'm just operating on, it's great, it's glorious, but I'm just operating on mental faith. That's awesome. But I think the Lord wants more. I would guess those people have heard the Lord, they just don't know it. And so I think that evangel is supposed to be a larger prophetic voice in the city than it has been for a while. I think coming out of the school of Jesus, the prophetic begins to flow in a new way. So I was praying this through, working on it last week. And so can we get the Isaiah passage up? Isaiah 41, 15 to 16. So I felt really, I'm flowing and I'm going well. I think I have a word for you. And I think it's about school of encouragement. And then the Lord downloads this passage for me. It's Isaiah 41. I saw it in my reading and it's like, whoa, that's evangel. Let me just read it. They'll get it up. Isaiah 41, 15 to 16. And then I'll need the, I know I gave them PowerPoint slides that work for my screen and not yours, so. Let me just read it. It's from the NIV. See, I will make you into a threshing sledge, new and sharp with many teeth. You will thresh the mountains and crush them and reduce the hills to chaff. You will winnow them. The wind will pick them up and a gate will blow them away. But you will rejoice in the Lord and glory in the Holy One of Israel. Now, I know what you're thinking right now. Ah, awesome. You're actually really excited because the Lord just called you to be a threshing sledge, right? Right? And you're thinking, awesome, I've always wanted to be a threshing sledge. And the rest of you are thinking, I have no idea what he's talking about because I had no idea either. But here's a glorious, can you get that picture at least? Google threshing sledge and find one for me and put it up there. So here's what it is. Let me just paint a picture for you. In Old Testament times, they would wrap some boards together, and they would put some holes in it. Someone yell at me once, so I don't have to keep looking up. They would put some holes in it, and they would put sharp rocks on one side. So imagine boards lashed together. I don't know how they did that with rope or whatever. They put these sharp rocks. I imagine they either search for them or sharpen them. They pound them into these boards, and they would wrap a rope around one end and tie it to an oxen, and they would pull it on the threshing floor. And what it would do, it would take out the edible part of the grain from all the rest of the garbage, all the stuff that didn't belong. And so I feel, oh, Lisa has it, yes. Yes, there it is. There it is. Oh, wait, I might. Yeah, Google it, everyone, Google it. Right? Don't do that. So, but sometime go look at it because it's glorious. It looks ugly, right? I'm sorry, it does. It's old and it looks ugly. But here's this beautiful picture of who evangel is. That these boards are lashed together. I'm not saying you look ugly. These boards are lashed together like this, right? All right? And you are the sharp teeth of the threshing. The Lord has put you together so that you can bring out the edible parts of the word of the Lord. Now, I know everything's edible, but there are things that are seasonal. So I believe the Lord is putting you together to separate those things that don't belong with those things that do, to bring out the good that the city needs. Go on a little further. The mountains, so it says, you will thresh the mountains. You know what mountains represent? Revelation. That you will open up revelation. I feel so strongly that the prophetic needs to flow out of this place in a new way. That the Lord is releasing you to be prophetic. So I don't know if that means training. No, I think it just means hanging out with Jesus together. And in such a, when you do that, just the testimony of Jesus begins to flow in you. When just my history. When I'm operating, when I'm hanging out with Jesus more, when I'm not distracted, when I'm hearing him, his voice, when he's a strong voice in my heart, the prophetic, the gifts of healing, the declaration, all of my life seems to flow better. I don't know why I don't figure this out. Like I should do this all the time, just hang out with Jesus. But you know, it's life, and life gets in the way. So. I'm advocating, I'm declaring that you are a prophetic threshing sledge. I know it sounds ugly. And I thought about building one, but it just take too long. So I don't think we're supposed to. I think this is, someone will look at that and say, what is that? I think there's something the Lord wants to release in this next season. That as we begin to hang out with Jesus, as we begin to be transformed by him, as we begin to allow the aroma of Jesus to become our aroma, I was thinking about that. How many of you are dog people? All right. Sometimes I'll grab a hold of, so we have two dogs in our house, a lab and a small dog, and I'm Pomeranian mix, and so his name is Watson, and he came onto our property, and he was lost, and the next thing I know, I saw my wife taking Watson, that wasn't his name by then, around looking for his owner. He's ours now. But something happened in that moment where she rescued Watson that she's his human, and we're tolerated unless we have treats, and then we're welcome. It's not quite that drastic, but he loves us in moments. But if she's around, we're like nothing. But every once in a while, I'll hug him or get close to him, and I'll smell my wife, her lotion or whatever. I'll smell her on him, and I'll say, "Oh, you've been hanging out with Mom, haven't you?" And he doesn't know, but so I feel like, yeah, you know, someone's gonna listen to this tape and say, "What was he talking about?" I feel like that's what will happen to us as we begin to hang out with Jesus together. We don't do this on our own. We do it together. As we do the school of Jesus together. I have no idea how that looks, but the Lord will figure that out. As we do the school of Jesus together, we begin to smell, his lotion begins to wear off on us. And people, when they're around us, they go, "What's that smell?" And we'll be able to say, "Yeah, that's Jesus." We don't even have to. We'll just know. Like, I know it's my wife. They'll just know. People will know. And when they hear the prophetic from you, and you phrase it however you want, "I have a word for you," or "I'm praying for you," and in your prayer, you say things you hear, however that works for you, the prophetic's going to flow out of us at a new level. And people are going to begin to receive the prophetic differently. They're going to know it came not from you, but from Jesus. So you're a threshing sledge to help people. And I was looking at it a little bit further in Isaiah 42. And here's just kind of the next level of what happens when we're operating together. Isaiah 42, 6 and 7, and then 16 and 17, but I'll work through it. "I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who are in darkness." Open blind eyes, free captives, release people from darkness. Further on, Isaiah 42, "I will lead the blind by ways they've not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them." This all happens when we're flowing together, when we're hanging out with Jesus together. "I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. But those who trust in idols," so here's a warning, "those who trust in idols, who say to images, 'You are gods,' will be turned back and utter shame." So there's a warning in the middle of that we can reject this. But I believe the Lord is calling us to walk together in a new way. I believe the Lord is calling Evangel to walk together in a new way, and I'm going to jump in on it. I feel so strongly about it that I'm changing my preaching for the next several weeks. I'm not quite sure how I'm going to do it, but and maybe for months, I don't know. Because I feel like I'm grabbing a hold of this word for you, and I'm applying it to my own life and my own ministry. Because I believe the Lord is not just interested in doing this to Evangel. You're like the guinea pigs. That's the wrong language. I can't think of a better way. But you're like the early adopters. Forerunner. Thank you. That's a great biblical word. It's better than guinea pigs. You're the forerunners. Yeah, you guys should preach. You should do this. You're forerunners for what the Lord wants to do in the city. I'm a passionate believer the Lord wants to release prophecy in the city. This is a city of refuge, a city of healing, this is a city of working together, even with the people that are different than us. That's in many ways it's glorious. We can change them. So we're hanging out with Mormons. Really, that's just not who we hang out with, right? Right? They believe differently than you. We can play around with that all we want and use different language. They believe differently than we do. But who's to say that the aroma of Jesus that they're longing for, that they think they already have, isn't going to be what happened? They're going to grab a hold of it when they're around us. So I'm not rejecting them. I'm hanging out with them. I'm going to listen to them. Maybe I'll go to the nativity thing. I don't know. I'm just saying I'm going to be open to whatever the Lord wants to do. I believe the Lord wants to do amazing things in evangel, through evangel, for the city, for abundant life. I think evangel can wear off an abundant life. That'd be glorious. So let me just kind of wrap this up a little bit. How long do I have? I know you'll say whatever. When's the food going to start getting cold? You have food. Give me like 15 more minutes at least. Because I'm hungry too. So let me just encourage you. You can say, this looks weird. You can say, I don't want to be wrapped up with some other people. And I don't want to be a sharp teeth. I'm good where I'm at. And I don't want to rock the boat. And you could say that. You could say, yeah, that sounds good for other people. I would say to you, grab a hold of Matthew 7 again and make sure you're not one of those people. And don't assume that you're not. I'm a pastor. I look at that passage on a regular basis. Do I know Jesus? I know about him, but am I operating in intimacy with him? Here's what I guess my concern is. It's really easy for us to do another book study. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. To grab a hold of Family Promise, and we're doing it too, and The Warming Shelter, and we're doing it too, and 15 million other things that the church is great at doing, right? And think that when we get to heaven, those things are what is going to get us. Like, yeah, Jesus, I worked the warming shelter. Okay, but you didn't know me. You meant well, but you didn't know me. I preached all the time. I was a pastor. I dealt with people. Like, that should get me in right there, right? That should get me in, but no, you didn't know me. I didn't know you. We weren't conversing. For the longest time, I tell you what, I didn't know what the voice of Jesus sounded like. It's still harder for me to hear than Holy Spirit, and harder for me to hear than the voice of the Father. But I'm longing, I'm pursuing, I'm hungry for the voice of Jesus in my life. And I would just encourage you to make sure you're longing for him, hungering for him, wanting to know what he tastes and smells like in the same way. So let me pray over evangel, and then let me see what else happens. You pray with me. Jesus, we ask you, for this. We thank you for the word of the Lord. I believe this is firmly the word of the Lord for us. You want to make us a threshing sledge. It sounds weird, but I want to be a sharp rock for you. I want to be lashed together with my other friends, with those I love. I want to be lashed together with them and separating the good from the bad, the good from the empty. I want to be a prophetic voice in the city. I want to be a part of a group of believers, a band of believers who are prophesying and believing and praying for healing and seeing signs and wonders. It is your definition. And it is who you want us to be. It's who you've made us to be, a prophetic people, a healing people, a signs and wonder people, a proclaiming people, an aroma people, a missional people, a loving people, a discipling people, all those things you've called us to be. Help us to begin to grab a hold of the more you want for us. Like everything else is better in you. Everything else is better in you. Help us to stop thinking. Help us to stop thinking the Seahawks are better than you. Like I know that. I mean, that sounds. It's not judging, Father. I know my own heart. I substitute any number of things for Seahawks, TV show, or you know, cars, or whatever it is. I know there are many times things step in front of you in my own heart. Will you just keep these passages, to keep especially Matthew 7, in front of us? Don't let me get away from the fact that it's easy for me to do a bunch of stuff for you and never know you. And I don't want that to happen for me. I don't want that to happen for anyone here in this room. So I pray, help us grab a hold of the promise, the word of the Lord for us, for this city. And help us begin to walk in new ways together. I would pray, Father, in terms of both the school of encouragement and what I'm calling the school of Jesus, that you'll give us some broad ideas here. Some, maybe we don't need it all filled in, but at least give us some boxes we can start to put this into so we know how to go forward. And I believe you're calling us forward, not just Evangel, you're calling us forward. There's more people I want to get in this. So release that, I pray. Release it. Amen. So you mind if I prophesy a little bit? I don't know how. We'll just go and see what happens. So I was praying for a while and feeling like the word of the Lord was for some people. And I don't quite know some of this, what's going to happen. But I want to be bold. So Miranda, where'd she walk out? Look, I turned my, what? Well, that throws me off. Okay, I'll go from there. Kevin, can you get on the keys for a minute? Oh, Miranda, is she on the phone? Do you want a word from the Lord or not? Oh, James, tell her I'm prophesying over you and see if she'll get off. You know, get off the phone. Thanks. So, Miranda, stand up. Miranda, stand up. Some people get around her and let's pray over. So, Miranda, I was praying the other day. I like the Lord had a word for you. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. He will make your path straight. 19, 6. Thank you, Kevin. The Lord said to me, don't worry. The Lord said, you don't have a, don't worry about a 5-year plan. There's no 5-year plan for you. The Lord said, take the next step. The Lord said, you're on the right path, that you just need to trust in him. Felt like the Lord was saying to me about you, is saying, the Lord is pleased with your choices. The Lord is moving in new ways in your life and heart. That he has more for you than you've ever asked or imagined. That you can't imagine all that he has for you. And that your only job right now is not to think of all that you can ask or imagine. Not to think about what's happening in 5 years. But to think about what's happening in front of you. And the Lord said, take the next step. Don't worry about the rest. And the Lord's saying, keep going with what you're doing. The ideas you have in your heart are the right ideas. The desires of your heart are right. The pain of the past does not define you. the glory of his future for you is should be your vision. It needs to be what you're looking at. I feel like the Lord's saying sometimes it feels like there's a rock in your shoe. That it's hard to walk and you don't even want to take the next step. That just the stuff of life, the things that you deal with in particular as just being Miranda, feel difficult for you and you don't know what to do with them. The Lord's saying, just saying, take the next step. The Lord smiles upon you. I feel the pleasure, Lord, in my own spirit right now. I can see him sitting. I really can. I can see him sitting on the throne room, smiling. So, Father, we just pray over Miranda. We ask you, our Holy Spirit, will you just fill her? Will you give her unusual, supernatural understanding of your will for her? Give her discernment at a really a micro level, not macro, not big picture, really for day-to-day living, for day-to-day choices, like what's happening. I almost feel like don't plan more than a day or two in advance. To live in the moment. And I don't feel like, Father, that's forever. I think you're just having her in a season where you're just building trust and you're enlarging her faith. And so continue to do that. Continue to pour your pleasure over her. Make your way known to her, I pray. Help her feel your joy. Help her feel your smile, I pray. Bless and anoint her. Fill her. Give her more and more room for you, more and more room for you, I pray. It's like I see her heart, Jesus. I see what you want to do. You just want to. I'm not saying she's the Grinch, because she's not. But you, what you wanted, what you did in the Grinch, what you did, what happened to the Grinch? His heart grew 3 sizes. That's what you want to do in Miranda. I pray over her. Just anoint her, bless her in this season. Amen. So, does anyone know who the girl was right back there in that? Cassie, yeah. I guess so. That's reasonable. Oh, there she is, Cassie. And some just stand up here, right here. And some people surround her. So this is going to sound strange, Cassie, but the Lord was highlighting this a little bit earlier. He's highlighting Psalm 42. Deep calls unto deep, and the roar of all your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. So I don't know anything about your life. I know where you're at, but this weird picture came into my mind. There's a movie called 47 Meters Down, right? And so two girls go down into a shark cage, and they have an. Have you seen it? I've never seen it. So, but they're somehow left, or something happens to them, and they're left on their own. And I don't know anything other than I got this picture of 47 meters down in a shark cage. And you in that, and I don't. That's on a negative. I don't know if you're in a hard season or not. I don't know. Okay, so are you in a hard season? Yeah. Okay. It feels like sharks. Yeah, that's good. So the Lord says, "I'm the cage for you. Like I'm protect. They can't get in. There's, yeah. The Lord says, there's no way." the God of the universe. I made them. So even if they bash at me, they're not getting through. Even if it feels scary, even if it feels like, oh no, this one, the cage break. I have no idea what happens. I don't know what they're feeling. I don't know anything about it, but I know the Lord is wrapping you up and he's protecting you and covering you. I feel like when you should just rely on that. When it feels like it's too deep, when it feels like you're alone, when it feels like no one is coming to your rescue, the Lord's got you. No one's getting through. Let's pray. Oh yeah, Father, I thank you. Let's pray for Cassie, Lord. I have no idea what she's going through. It doesn't matter. You know. You know every detail she doesn't even know. You know what it's like to be 47 meters down. You know what it's like to be abandoned. You know what it's like to feel alone. You know what it's like for your daughter to feel all the emotions she's feeling. I just thank you that you are a God who cages us, that protects us, that wraps us up with love and grace and mercy and kindness. And I pray that you would just let Cassie know. Let her not just like in her head know, like, but actually see tangibly in some way that you've got her. There is nothing that can get through. There's nothing that can get through. There's no attack. The enemy's attacks do not have to land. You keep them away. And so we ask you, every time the enemy starts to launch something at Cassie, you would just knock it aside. Just like a shark hits the cage, we'll just go aside. We'll just know that's you, Jesus. You being her shield, you being her cage, you being her protection. You were watching over her. And I pray, Father, it seems like the worst place in the world where she can experience joy and wonder. But I would pray that you would help her to experience joy and wonder in the middle of it. Bless her, Father. Pour over. May she feel the protection of the Lord, the shield of the Holy Spirit, the armor of God. Touch her, Father. There's no place too deep that you can't go. There's no situation too hard that you can't deal with it. May she just have the assurance of knowing you have her back. You have her back, her side, her front, her top, all over. She has every portion of her. Bless her. May she feel the pleasure of the Lord. Amen. Must be Ladies' Day. Sorry. Sorry, guys. Janelle. Can we gather on Janelle? Right? Have that right? So I felt earlier in the week, actually, Ezekiel 47. So the angel takes Ezekiel through the river in New Jerusalem. And he goes ankle deep. And that's okay. You can stay ankle deep. But the river goes hip deep and then it gets overflowing. And I feel like really like the Lord is calling you to go past ankle deep. That the Lord wants to take you deeper in him. And the Lord has more for you. And that you don't want to get too far in the water. You don't want to get to the rough spot. You don't want to get to the place where you might be too deep. But the Lord says, just don't worry about that. Just relax. Just trust him. Go deeper with me. I think he's saying that. I don't know what's going on. But you can trust him in the waters of your life. You can trust him that the river of the Lord is pleasurable for you. Let's pray. Again, Father, I'm feeling the pleasure you have for your daughter. Feeling like you want to take her deeper in you. Ankle deep is good and it feels refreshing and comforting, but you want to go a little bit deeper with her. I pray, Father, I feel like deeper in the Word. I feel like deeper in the Spirit. Father, I feel like I want to release prophecy. There are words deep inside her you want to flow out of her. There's something going on in her that you want to flow out of her. That as she goes deeper into you, there'll be things for her kids, things for her husband, things for her extended family, things for her dad. I see something for her dad. Things for Evangel. So I pray over her, Father. I pray help her when she wants to pause at ankle deep, to go further, knee deep and hip deep, to not be afraid of what's past the next stage, what's deeper, that always you have her, you'll protect her. I pray out of her relationship with you, out of her spending time in the river of the Spirit, the river of her relationship with you, that you will just begin to release things in the Spirit. I do pray, Father, you release the prophetic utterances. I pray you release dreams. In fact, I feel, Janelle, like you should have a journal next to your bed. Write down the things the Lord says to you in the middle of the night or when you wake up. Don't cast those aside. Father, just seal those things on our heart. Just begin to just open our heart in new ways. Just blow her mind with her what she's perceiving in the Word. And I just pray that you help her to when she doesn't feel like she wants to push past, which we all feel that she doesn't want to go deeper, that you'll just help her, just gently. I feel him gently by your side, just saying, let's go a little bit further. Let's go a little bit further. So just help her. And Father, again, I want her to hear your voice. I want her to feel your pleasure, feel your joy. You have more for her than she thinks possible. Break off all limitations on her that she's put on herself, all limitations that the enemy's cursed her with, all the things that the enemy said, like, you can't do this, you can't do that. None of those matter. Break them all off, Father. Every word of negativity, break off. Every curse, break it off. Release her into, that's not just ministry, release her into herself to be who you've called her to be. Anoint her heart, I pray. Bless her, I pray. You're great. Amen. Amen. So just, I think one other, how many of you, see if I can get at this. How many of you are in a battle? Like, it might be a spiritual battle or family. Just kind of raise your hands. A number of you. Okay, so here's what I felt early on. I thought it was Jeff for a season. I don't think it is. I feel like you're using the wrong weapon. So in 1 Samuel 17, David goes to confront Goliath. How many of your battles feel like that? David versus Goliath, right? So in 1 Samuel 17, he goes, works past the camp, gets into the tent of Saul. Finally, Saul lets him go. He's going to go fight David, and Saul puts his armor on. You know that story, right? The armor doesn't fit, tries to use the weapons that Saul wants him to use. He just takes all that garbage off. So that's not for me. Gets into shepherd's gear, whatever that looks like for him, and uses the tools that he knows, the weapons that he knows. Gets his slingshot or his bag or whatever it is, and some five smooth stones, right? So I feel like the Lord wants those of you who are fighting battles to look at what you're fighting the battles with. and ask the Lord if there are different weapons you should be using. I feel like you're using the wrong weapon. Like the one you're choosing, and whatever it is. And we've all been in battles where we've used our own wisdom. We all been battles where we haven't asked other people to pray. We've all been, oh yeah, that's it. So we're not doing this alone. We're doing this together. Part of it is you're not letting other people help you prophetically. Understand the power of the prophetic. This is a Nazarene pastor telling you this. We don't talk about this. Understand the significance and power of the prophetic word. It's the testimony of Jesus. It's necessary. It's God gave it to us. It's necessary for our spiritual health. It's necessary for our growth. So if that's you, I think ask people to prophesy over you, specifically over your circumstance. People you trust, people you know, and maybe those of you in the body, look around. So raise your hands again so we see who it is we're talking about. Look around right now. Begin to ask the Lord prophetically for these people. They're your friends. They're your brothers and sisters. You have prophetic words for them. Tonight when you're dreaming, tonight when you're asleep, when the Lord gives you a phrase or a scripture, ask him who it's for. If it's for David, give it to David. Don't hold back. Let me pray over you. Oh, Holy Spirit, what a glorious word. What a great promise. Oh, I love how you work. Oh, I just love you. Father, you're so glorious. I'm so excited for you to work in our lives and our hearts. And I know what it means to be overwhelmed. I know what it feels like to think that there is no way, there's no way I can defeat this enemy. There's no way I can win this battle. I would pray that you would break that spirit of discouragement, that spirit of lessening of your power, that spirit of thinking that we're less than we are. We are the children of the King of Kings. We're sons and daughters of the King. We're King's sons and King's daughters. We have your DNA in us. We're created to be great in your kingdom. Not to be recognized or well known. That's not it. To be great in your kingdom. And I would pray, Father, you begin to show your kids who are fighting battles, to begin to show them in the spirit what things they need to do differently. How to fight. I know some of them have been fighting with human wisdom. Some people have been fighting with worry. Worry is not a weapon. Worry counters your act of warfare. I pray you give that peace as a weapon. I pray the peace of God be a weapon for them. I pray prophecy be a weapon for these folks. I pray the spirit of prayer that they would include people in their battle, which requires some level of vulnerability, which requires some level of recognizing what I'm doing now is not working. The weapon that I'm using does not work in this situation. So I pray you would give them encouragement and give them hope. You would speak to them through others. But even in your spirit right now, in their spirits right now, you just begin to resonate with them that you are with them. They are not alone. You are for them. You are not against them. May they feel just like the slightest measure of hope in these circumstances. We're not asking for you to throw open the door. We're just asking for a sliver of light into the dark room. It's encouragement, Father. Thank you for encouraging us. Thank you for prophesying over us. Thank you for speaking to us. Amen. Amen. Can we gather around your pastor and his wife? I don't care. You just come and do it. I don't care what he thinks. Yeah, right? Where are you going? Okay. Can we? Yeah, this is Pastor Appreciation Sunday, so you have an awesome and amazing pastor if you didn't know that. He is a gift to the city. He shepherded you well, not perfectly. We aren't perfect. But in his grooviness, he's taking you amazing places. Really, because he says yes to the Spirit. That's his biggest accomplishment, his biggest resource. He knows it. Just begin to pray in the Spirit over him. Yeah. Yeah. And pray in the Spirit. You know what that means, right? Pray in the Spirit. Holy Spirit, just begin to download on into Jeff and Jody's heart. We know that we're in this alone. Jeff's never alone. And we know you've created him. Before the foundation of the planet, you had in mind that Jeff would pastor Evangel. What an amazing story, Father. Before the planet was formed, you had this moment in mind. Before the planet was formed, you had Jody for Jeff and Jeff for Jody. To think it's random, we dismiss that. We ask you, Father, just to continue to pour out your Spirit on this amazing couple. We pray, Father, for the next season, you will give them astounding vision. I really feel like you can just give them binoculars that they can look ahead in the Spirit and see what's coming and what they need to do. They can see with really good detail. Binoculars magnify. So I pray just even the beauty and wonder of you, you would magnify it in their spirit. That they would see you differently. That they would see you with clarity. They would see different colors. And I pray you show them the throne room in Revelation 4 and 5. You show them the different colors that are resonating there, the beauty and glory of what's happening in your throne room. I pray even tonight or this week, divine encounters in the sleep, in their dreams. I don't think Jeff dreams much. I don't know about Jody, but I pray, Father, you give him a dream he cannot move away from. An angelic encounter, encounter with you, Jesus. I pray, give him strength. Strengthen his legs to keep pressing in, to keep going forward. We pray more for them, in the Spirit, more for them. More. Birth more out of their lives, I pray. Release more out of their lives. Pray openings and closings, opening of doors and closing of doors. Even think specifically for ministry. Thinking as a pastor here, show him what the next season looks like. Show him what 2020 looks like. Not what everyone is prophesying about, 2020 vision, all that stuff. That's great. But really, for Evangel and for Jeff and Jody, what's 2020 look like? Right? Like, shine the binoculars on the next year and spotlight different areas for them, I pray. That in the Spirit, you would just give them all the clarity they need for the next year. Holy Spirit, move on them in an unusual way. And bless them. Bless their marriage. Bless their family, their kids and grandkids. And just give them just an unusual ability to speak into their kids' lives. At key moments, touch them. I just pray breakthrough and more. Just press in a little bit longer. Trying to hear the Lord on something. Press in just a little bit. The rest of you guys can just kind of join in prayer from where you're at. Yeah, I don't know why, but Psalm 130 sticks with me. I was looking it over and not sure why, but Father, would you just pour out your spirit in terms of scripture on Jeff and Jody in the next few days? Pray specifically you give them, there's a verse they can hang on to for the next season. In fact, I would say there's a verse that will just kind of launch them into something new. In their marriage. Yeah, they do go together. Ministry and marriage. I pray for just an unusual season in their marriage of just companionship and friendship. Not that they aren't, but just more. Just bless them. Yeah, more of everything. Father, we just thank you for the way you've used your servants, your son and daughter. We pray that you would continue to let them know the pleasure of the Lord, the joy that he feels, and that you'll continue to use them in new and amazing ways. Father, may they feel that extreme pleasure of the Lord right now and the love of their family, their love of their friends right now. May they, in a tangible way, know your joy. We love you, Father. We thank you for the morning. I'm just going to bless the food to our bodies. Just be with us as we share a meal together in honor of Jeff and Jody. May it just be an anointed, blessed time. We love you. We thank you for the day. Be with us, we pray, in your name, the great name of Jesus. Amen.